What up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike. Thanking you guys for tuning in. Thanking you guys for coming continuously week in, week out to show some love, support. I see you guys sharing, see you guys commenting, and it means the world to me. So thank you so much. Like always, I'm always constantly looking. I'm trying to see the connections that God puts around me because I want to bring stories that would be impactful, stories that will uplift, and stories that will change your life. It's not about clickbait. It's not about how many likes or how many subscribers I can get. Is that a goal? Absolutely. But it's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to create a change inside of you, something that triggers, I don't want to be in insanity anymore. And that's what I'm trying to do with the interviews that we try bringing to you. So with that said, sit tight. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation because it's going to be a good one, guys. So I'll see you in a bit. Welcome back to the Mac Effect. As you can see, I have a good friend right here with me. The man, the myth, the legend, my friend Eddie. Eddie.
What's up, my boy?
Thank you for joining, bro. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah.
Super excited when you asked me to, if I was interested in your podcast and being a guest, I was like, let's do it. Let's do it, bro.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah. So, you know, just a little bit, behind the scenes, guys, that's something you guys didn't see, but ultimately for me, it's such a huge blessing. It didn't even come out of me, but I love the fact that it came out of you, bro, where you're like, can we pray before we begin? And that to me is a blessing because I do everything with God, bro. I do everything with the Lord. I feel like sometimes people are like, you talk about God too much, but the reality is it's like he's part of my life. Like I make decisions because of him. I get molded because of him, and honestly, it's like if it's not for him, I wouldn't be able to withstand a lot of the stuff that goes on in my life. So,
absolutely.
Thank you for wanting to pray before we started.
Absolutely, man. Like you said, God first in anything.
That's right. That's right.
So that's awesome.
And Eddie, the reason why I wanted to bring you on, bro, it's because like I don't know much about your background, your story, or anything, but there's an aura, there's a presence that you have, and I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's what, it's like a light, bro. You have something that reflects as far as positivity, as far as, you know, I'm not in it for my own skin. I'm actually just trying to spread some type of love, some type of positivity. I mean, am I vibing it right or am I vibing it wrong?
No, absolutely. I feel like I'm a very genuine person, and especially when God speaks through me, I listen.
Yeah,
I try to be as obedient as possible. And I know the way we met was through my brother-in-law, right, Mario Arizon. So shout out to Mario.
Let's go, Mario.
And
well, yes, we're gonna keep going, but Mario, the El Reto Ya Está, you're coming on the podcast,
yes,
man.
Yes, we'll definitely get him on. We'll definitely make it happen, for sure, for sure. But yeah, just how everything aligned, how we met.
That's right.
And I know you've been going through a special season in your life. And about 2 weeks ago, God just put you in my heart, and I gave you a call, and you answered, and we had an amazing conversation, and that's here right. We are today.
Let's go. Let's go. And well, Mario, see, you said Mario, now I'm thinking of Mario. Well, Eddie, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? Where are you from? What kind of molded you in your childhood and your beginning to be who you are now?
Yeah, so born and raised in Riverside, so not too far away from you.
All right.
First generation, mom and dad are both from Mexico. Came here at a very young age for a better opportunity, obviously.
Absolutely.
Right? So my mom was about, I think, between 11 and 12 years old.
Wow.
When she came, I know my grandma in Mexico got really sick. So one of my tías, my mom's sister, lived out in Orange County. So she took my mom in, right? So my mom had to grow up very, very quickly at a very young age. My father came at the age of 18. he hopped on a train, moved out here. His father, they used to have a cantina in Mexico.
Okay.
And my grandpa got sick, so my dad's like, dude, like, I gotta hold it down. So I believe my dad's sister lived in Orange County as well too.
Okay.
So she's like, hey, we have a place to stay, come over here. So they came in very humble beginnings. I believe my dad's first job was he was a dishwasher.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
He was a dishwasher. He did dishes and he worked his way up. So the way my mom and dad met was I don't know if it was my tia from my mom's side or my tia from my dad's side, but one of them was throwing a party in the neighborhood. They came over. My dad went over, saw my mom. They met, dated, right? So my dad was working construction, got a job, started making money. Obviously, Orange County is a lot more expensive than the IE, especially back in like the late 80s, early 90s. So my dad decided to move to Riverside in 1990, and I was born in 91.
Wow.
So born and raised in Riverside.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where are your parents from? What part of Mexico?
So my mom's from Durango.
Okay.
And my dad's from Chihuahua, a little ranch called Mioqui. So Mioqui, Chihuahua.
Okay.
So
okay.
Durango and Chihuahua.
Nice. Born, well, I mean, I love it. I just had a conversation with another friend of mine that, you know, his dad came to the States at 16. At 16, myself, I'm not thinking of moving to another country and starting a new life and trying to build a family. Like, our parents, like, legitimately hustlers.
Yes.
Legitimately hard workers. No time to cry. Time to figure it out.
Absolutely.
And, like, right now you said they moved out to Riverside. 100% more bang for your buck. You get a nice home for a very good price. And that's where you were born and that's where you were raised.
Yeah.
You are, do you have siblings?
I do. So there's four of us.
Okay.
I have an older brother who's about 2 years older. Then it's me. I'm the middle child. Then I have two younger sisters.
Okay. So two boys, two girls.
Two boys, two girls.
Nice.
Yeah. My parents shot the pair, you know. So, good for them. Yeah. After two and two, they were done. You know?
All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. And are you a brother that's, you have little sisters. Are you overprotecting of your little sisters or were you kind of more like, we'll all get along one way or another?
No. I was super overprotective.
Yeah.
Super overprotective. I look back now and I feel bad. And I even apologize to my sister.
Wow.
Literally, when she liked a boy, I made it known, like, dude, this is my sister. Like, nah, it ain't happening. It's not happening, bro. Yeah, I was a little snitch, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, I'd literally be like, hey, mom, there's this dude, da-da-da. She's trying to get at my sister.
Let's
You're
go.
Like, it's not happening.
Agarrala de las greñas y se me sale.
Yes. I look back now and I was just like, bro, that was not cool. They always had my back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They always had my back, but yeah, I feel bad.
Got it. Okay. I mean, we're learning, right?
Absolutely.
Like, no one teaches us things. Like, I'm seeing that you're the older one. I was the baby of the family. So a lot of the times, and we're two brothers and two sisters as well. But I was the youngest one, so I didn't know anything, man. I saw them, they're trying to date. I can care less. I'm over here still trying to play my video games. Like, I'm worried about me, and I can care less. But I can see the different perspective. That's why I'm like, you know, were you or were you not? But, all right, cool. So, growing up in Riverside, how did that either help you or mold you to the man that you are now? Like, how was, say, middle school, high school days for you?
So I'd say middle school was a lot of fun. I went to Sierra Middle School, amazing school. I think everyone that goes there has a great time for the most part. And it was amazing. I played sports. I was playing baseball at the time. But what happened was at the age of eight, I was like in third grade, I believe. I was playing baseball, but I realized that I'd get distracted very, very easily, right? So I found out that I had ADHD during that time, right? So I had reading comprehension. Like, that was like the one thing that I would struggle in class. So when I was in seventh grade, I actually had to go to special ed classes.
Oh, wow.
Right? So the first month of middle school was amazing. Like, literally, there were seven classes, right? You'd have PE, all that stuff. But like, literally one through six, like, all my friends in sports, we all had the same classes, one through six. So then once my schedule changed, because I had to go to special ed classes, literally fourth period and fifth period were all one class. It was a special ed class, right? So my schedule changed, and then I just, it was just, it sucked. It sucked, bro. Like, literally what we would do, and it's so embarrassing. I don't know if you remember, did you ever have, like, a parent-teacher conference and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So my dad came one time, and the teacher was just going over, like, hey, your kids learn differently, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So one of the practices that we do is we literally write the ABCs down, bro. Literally, yeah. Like, if you're in kindergarten, like, draw an A, draw a B. And then I just remember, like, looking at my dad, and he was just like, what the heck is going on, you know? And I felt so bad because I was like, dude, I know how hard my dad works, and the last thing I want him to think is, like, dude, like, my son's a little... He's not all there, right? But yeah, it was pretty tough right there. I think it's super important to have a very strong father figure at the time, especially in a young man's life, just to, you know, let him know, like, no matter what's going on in your life, like, it'll pass, but you got to be strong, you got to be bold, and you got to be confident, you know?
Got it.
But my dad is a very passive man, right? So just a little background about my dad, going back to history, getting to know my dad and stuff like that. I would ask him, like, how was your relationship with your father? So my grandpa was a super strict man, not very emotional, right? Never really said I loved you. Just pretty much like typical machismo Hispanic man, right?
Sounds a little familiar.
Sounds
familiar.
So my dad didn't want to bring on that onto me. Like, my dad would tell me he'd love me, and the way he'd show is by him providing, right? But he wasn't really good at communicating, right? So he was a very passive man. And just understanding him, like, I don't blame him. I actually have so much compassion for the guy, you know? So now, as a son, and being aware of the things that my grandpa wasn't able to instill in my father, I've been able to give that to him.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So it's super amazing how God works, right? And my grandpa passed away when I was a freshman in high school. We didn't really have the best relationship, just because even though I grew up in a Hispanic household, we never really practiced Spanish. So I'm legit like a no sabo kid, right? Okay. I barely started speaking Spanish maybe about 2 years ago, thanks to my suegros.
Okay.
You know, they've been helping out with my Spanish and stuff like that. But
shout out to los suegros.
Shout out to the suegros, right? Yes. So, yeah, we didn't really have a relationship. The only thing I really remember is when he'd come over, he'd always tell me to put channel 52 and 34. Those are the channels, 52, 34, right? So literally when he'd come over, like, that's literally all he would do is just watch TVs. I would really understand him, but I wasn't able to communicate with him because I didn't really speak Spanish, right?
Yeah.
So my other cousins, when he'd come visit, he'd always stay with them longer, because with us, it was kind of like he'd just sit on the TV. You know what I mean? So he passed away. I didn't really get to have a full-on, like, conversation, get to know my grandpa. But thanks to me having a conversation with my dad, I got to know my grandpa a little bit more and stuff like that. So going back to middle school, it was very challenging at the time, especially growing up. I was a very, very skinny kid. Like I was talking to you earlier, I love sports, but physically it wasn't there. Like, I'm 6'2". I was very tall, but very, very, very skinny. So my freshman year playing football, I was 6'2", 120 pounds wet. You know what I mean? So I definitely didn't have the structure to play football and stuff like that. High school was a lot of fun. My freshman year, I went to Ramona High School. My parents ended up moving up in Orange Crest, a really nice area up in Riverside. So it was like going from a lower middle in class school to like higher upper middle class. Okay. Brand new school, only a couple years old. Wow. So looking from the school from the outside, right, you're like, dude, I definitely want to go to King High School. It looks freaking beautiful, right? So we ended up moving after football season. So from the second semester of freshman year to all of sophomore year, I went to King High School, and I hated it.
Wow.
That was the first time I ever experienced like racism.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So my brother, he was a senior when I was a freshman. So he ended up staying at Ramon. He was able to graduate there. So I literally was like fresh meat in a new high school.
Wow.
I went from a school of like 85% Latino to a new school where it's like literally 85% Caucasian.
Wow.
The rest is mixed, African-American, Indian, Asians, all that stuff. So I never really experienced racism until I went to that school. So I went through a lot. I hated it. I hated going to school. It was just pretty bad. Like, my first day of school, like, I really realized, like, things are not the same.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
How did that affect your confidence level? Like, how did that affect mentally? Because I know right now you were sharing how, like, you would ask your dad questions to try to figure out a little bit more, your grandpa. Like, I'm kind of curious, like, how old were you when you were trying to figure these things out? And what would that do to your mental confidence as far as a young man?
Yeah, so we were talking about it a little bit later. I feel like I was a late bloomer growing up. I grew up in a super religious household, Christian household. We weren't allowed to pretty much do worldly things, right?
That's right.
So when we started going to a church, like, literally no Disney.
Both your mom and dad would go to church?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when my parents moved to Riverside, my mom met a Seventh-day Adventist lady. Her name was Rosita. I know my mom was going through, like, depression and stuff like that, anxiety. So we went walking one time, and we met Rosita. She was walking with a dog. So my mom would always meet ladies walking around the neighborhood and stuff like that. So she introduced her to, like, Christianity. So there was literally a church called Hope Community Church. It was a Caucasian church, like, literally right in the corner of where we lived. So we were, like, the only Hispanics that was going to that church. So that's when I found out about, like, Vacation Bible School, Boy Scouts, all that good stuff, right? So my dad actually learned how to speak English and understand English a lot better because we were only surrounded by a bunch of Americans, Caucasians, and stuff like that. So my godparents, Dell and Glenda, shout out to Dell. He was actually the one that gave my dad a really good, high-paying union job. He got him in the union.
Wow.
Okay. Construction. So, yeah, I grew up in a Christian household, was very sheltered. So I was literally not able to do anything. Middle school sucked. I wasn't able to go to, like, my middle school dances. But knowing me, I was a little rebellious kid. So I remember I tried sneaking in one time. My mom legit went to school, went inside the gymnasium, and, like, pulled me out, bro. She pulled me out. She's like, dude, you're much trouble, this and that. So
we have a lot of similarities. Yeah. Man. Like, the more I hear you say certain things, like, I was not allowed also to go to certain school events, dances. Like, the only time I was able to was until senior year. And it was still like, what time? And give me the whole panorama of, you know, how's it going to work? What time are you going to be back home? And right now that you said she went to the school, I'm like, yeah, I was hanging out with certain homies at their house. She would pull up to the house, go into the house, grab me and take me out. And I'm like, this is embarrassing, dude. Yes. Like, no one else. This doesn't happen to no one else, man.
Yeah.
So right now you're saying that. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so
it's their way of, like, they're trying to protect you.
Absolutely.
But they also got to learn to just let go a little bit, too.
Absolutely.
But I get it.
The balance, for sure. You know, looking back at it now, I'm super grateful. Because like you said, they're just trying to protect you. God knows what they went through. You know, imagine coming a different country, not speaking the language at that age. Kids are mean. Let's just be honest. Kids are mean, right?
Absolutely.
So now looking back at it, I'm super grateful for it. But when I turned 18, I was just like, well, I'm my own man. I'm a grown man now. Peace out.
Deuces.
So I literally just was curious at the age of 18 and, you know, just did everything and anything, you know what I mean? And to answer your question, so my mom and dad got divorced.
Oh, okay. Right? I did not know that.
They got divorced back in 2013.
Okay.
So it was...
How old were you?
I was, I think, like, around 22, 23 years of age.
Wow.
So I was a lot older. So it was a complete, like, shock, right? It came from, like, super religious, parents super involved in the church. I was super involved in the church, right? We'd do retreats. We'd always help retreats. Weekends, we'd serve. As a young kid, we'd literally, like, because the church was brand new, so we're working on expanding it. So what we'd do at a very young age, a couple of the youth ministry leaders would literally, we'd go door knocking in the nearest neighborhood, knock on doors, and just ask if any family need prayers and stuff like that. So seeing all that and then seeing it all just hit the fan, you know, I was just like, oh, like you start questioning yourself, like everything that I learned, my upbringings about God, like, is it really real or it was just like a facade or like a fantasy? Right?
100%.
So
you're going to at minimum start questioning it. So that definitely messes with your confidence, with your mindset. What you thought was real, you're starting to like, wait, it was never real. So yeah. I totally get what you're
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely. So I'm super grateful for it's super important to have a very, very positive environment. Like, it's super key to have the right people in your life.
100%.
Right? So the amazing thing, going back to my brother-in-law, Mario Arizon, during that time, it was just a really bad divorce. My mom ended up leaving, got kicked out of the house. My dad ended up staying, right? So me and my dad actually got into it too. Like, he was literally a couch potato for like 2 years, just completely depressed, right? And I wasn't doing anything either, bro. Like, I was just messing around, not respecting the pad, just going out at night. I had nothing going on, I'm just being honest with you, right? So my dad ended up kicking me out of the house and my sister. It was like New Year's of 2014, and he completely kicks us out of the house. So we're literally stranded like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No way.
Just grabbed her what we could and we bounced, right? So during that time, my sister was dating my brother-in-law, which they're married now, right? Luckily, he had his own, he had like a little house behind the house that he was renting. So we called him up. We're like, hey, Manny, like, can you come pick us up? Like, my dad literally kicked us out of the house. So that happened. And literally the next day, like, the renter's like, what's going on here? So Manny was telling the lady that was renting him the house, like, it's okay that she stays, but he has to go. You know what I mean? So for like about a week, I was just like going from friend's house to friend's house. And then it got to the point where I literally had to almost like sleep at a park, right? So I just reached out to a friend. Luckily, he just had an apartment, and he's like, dude, like, how you been, this and that, what's going on? So dude, I had no choice. It was like, dude, I gotta either be honest or like I ain't got nowhere to stay, right? So luckily he took me in, right? And shout out to Jaime for taking me in. So thanks to Jaime, that's actually how I met my brother-in-law Mario, was through our business. So during that time, Mario found out what happened, right? And my friend Jaime's like, hey, Mario wants to talk to you. So I'm like, okay, cool. So Mario found out exactly what happened. So I was kind of like excited to talk to Mario, because I thought that he would tell me like, hey, man, like right now is the perfect time to build your business so you can show your dad like you can do this, this and that. And it was the complete opposite. So I talked to Mario, and he's just like, I heard what happened between you and your dad. And before I was even able to say anything, he cut me off. He's like, I don't want to hear it. I'm just like, what the heck? It's complete opposite of what I had pictured in my head. He's like, look, I don't want to hear it. What you need to do is you need to call your dad and you need to ask him to forgive you. And I'm just like, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, at least at the time, I didn't think so. He's like, no. He's like, if there's ever a time that your father needs you, it's right now.
Wow.
And I'm just like, perspective, right? So I'm like, dude, he's like, the toughest, Mario told me, the toughest pill that you're gonna have to swallow in your life is a pill of responsibility. He's like, your dad needs you right now. He's like, I don't care about the business. He's like, matter of fact, if you don't fix this with your father, I'll literally sign a letter of like resignation and just like, you're not working here, because that's not what I represent. You know what I mean? And I told him, like, dude, my dad won't even talk to me. Like, even if I call him, like, he won't even answer the phone. He's like, I don't care what you have to do, but figure it out. He's like, even if I have to call him, I'll call him, right? So long story short, called my dad. He wasn't answering, right? Birthday passed. I didn't hear nothing from my dad. It was, like, the first time in my life, like, my dad never wished me a happy birthday. So I was like, dude, this guy, like, he's really upset, right? So I was at the office one day, and I just had like a really, really, really like dark feeling in my gut. I knew something was going on. So as we were driving up to get to our apartment, right, I just asked Jaime, I was like, hey, Jaime, like, pull over. I need to go visit my dad. He's like, do you want me to go with you? I'm like, no, like I need to go. So I didn't have a car at the time. I had a little skateboard, like a little longboard. So he just dropped me off. He took off. I rode the skateboard. And I don't know, I just started praying. I just said, God, I don't know what's going on, but I just want to pray for my father. Use me and just let everything go smoothly, right? So as I get to the house, like I just see my dad in the car.
In the car, not even inside the house.
Not even inside the house, just in the car parked, right? And I was like, that's kind of weird because I kind of gauged it. Like my dad usually gets home between 5 to 5:30. You know, he works in Anaheim with the traffic. He should be home. So I get there. He's just in the car, like just like sitting down. And I'm just like, what the heck? And I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, I don't know what to do, right? Like, what do you do?
You're expecting him to reject you. You don't know what to expect. Like, I get it. There's a lot of different scenarios.
Absolutely. So I open the door and my dad's just like standing there. And I look over and he literally has a gun on the side of him.
Oh, shoot.
Right? And I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's just like, Mijo, estoy cansado.
Wow.
Yeah. God. He's like, Mijo, estoy cansado. You know? And I was like, Dad, like, what are you talking about? Like, you're good. Like, let's come inside. You know, like, everything's going to be good. He's like, no, like, I'm tired of this. Like, I'm here alone. No one cares about me, you know? And I was like, Dad, I'm here. Like, what are you talking about? Like, just come inside. Like, everything's going to be fine. We'll talk about it. So, yeah, he came inside and we started talking. But going back to the importance of having the right people into your life, right? So just having the right mentorship in my life, the importance of self-development. I love to read self-development books, right? So just really during the process that I was out on my own living with my roommates at the time in the business, like we were self-improvement fanatics. Like we were just trying to survive, you know, being a young entrepreneur and not so easy industry, like being young, talking about finances to people that are a lot older than you, you know, you got to know your stuff, you know, like in a sense, age is just a number. But then again, like you got to prove like, you know, what you're talking about
100%
for people to be willing to listen to you. Right. So thanks to me self-improving, I learned a lot. Right. So I really wanted to help my father and be there for my father because my father needed me. Right. So I literally took the time to really get to know my dad. And I had a really good conversation with my father. I told him, like, look, I want you to forgive me, right, for disrespecting you, disrespecting the house. And as a man, I want to get to know you, Dad. Like, not as my father. Like, I want to know you. Like, I want to know how you grew up, what you went through, the daily struggles you're facing. Like, I want to get to know you, Dad, you know? So yeah, he's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, let's do it. So I ended up praying for my dad. I ended up going home that night, right? So that was like on a Thursday. So on Friday I go over to my dad's house and he buys a case of Coronas and we get some carne asada, and I literally interviewed my dad.
Love it.
Interviewed my dad,
which not a lot of us do, but it's beautiful because then you get to know how he thinks and the process that he's going. So that's crazy, like, that you even thought of like this.
Yeah. So like I said, just having God in my life and just always praying, like, God, let me be a vessel.
Yeah.
Use me, you know, speak through me. And yeah, like the idea came from it, you know, it just came.
So you guys are grilling, and like, what does he start telling you that you're like, dude, I had no idea?
Yeah, so first and foremost, this is how the conversation started. I was like, look, Dad, I'm not going to judge you, right? I'm your friend right now. Like, I want to get to know you. So I don't care what it is, but just tell me the truth. Like, who are you, right? And just from here on out, we're starting from a clean slate, right? So when I started the conversation with that, like, he literally started like from, I believe, the age of four, like all the way back to where he can remember, right? So just hearing the way he grew up with my my grandpa, he was a alcoholic, very abusive. So he'd tell me, like, as a kid, like, my grandpa would get drunk. He'd literally try to put hands on my grandma. My dad would get involved. So my dad lived in a ranch at the time. So what my grandpa would do is, like, literally the lassos to hit the horses, he'd wet in, he'd, like, literally beat the crap out of my dad, right? So you can only imagine the resentment my father would have towards my grandpa, right?
100%.
So then I went even deeper into that. I was like, okay, so that's what my dad's going through. Now tell me a little bit about your dad, right? Tell me a little bit about my grandpa. So the only thing my dad can tell me about my grandpa was, I guess, my grandpa lost his father, I think, between the ages. I can't really remember the time. I think it was maybe between the ages of 5 and 7 years old. He had a heart attack and passed away. But my great-grandpa was also an alcoholic, right? So that's when I realized, okay, there's a generational curse of alcoholism, right? So I don't drink, to be honest with you. I'm not never really been a fan of drinking. So I was like, dude, if it's up to me to break that chain, right? So yeah, just getting to know my dad and just hearing him out, I was able to relate to him. But also, like, what God showed me were the things that was missing in his life. And I focused on that. And that's how I was able to build my father up. Like, everything that my grandpa wasn't able to give my father. Like, I really do believe that God uses your kids. I don't have any kids, but I do believe that God uses your kids.
Man, that's crazy.
To teach you some things, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. My oldest daughter, she has... I don't want to go too much into details because this is their personal life, but I just remember that there was times where she would cry to me and she would tell me, like, it's not my job to teach my dad. And I would actually tell her, maybe it is. Maybe God wants you to help him. Maybe God wants you to use you. And I know it doesn't seem fair because the logical thing is a parent is the one that teaches a child. It's not the child that teaches a parent. But you and I both know when it comes to God, bro, he can do anything.
Absolutely.
And if he wants to flip it around, he can flip it around. And I think God, not I think, I'm 100% aware God used you to bless your dad, to teach him some things. Because I'm listening to you, bro, and I'm like, man, like, you were really young. Because not a lot of young adults, young men have the ability to process. But the beautiful thing, too, is you're right, like the mentorship, like for Mario to say, nah, bro, turn around, go over there. Like, that is beautiful because we're in a world where it would have been easy for Mario to be like, ah, screw that fool. Like, let him, come on, let's go get your hustle. You get your pockets right, and then you're good. That's kind of like the world that we're in right now.
Absolutely.
And one of the biggest things that is difficult to do in this world today, and I'm kind of glad Mario taught you this because I think it definitely molded your heart into something special, is you go and you apologize. Not many people can go back and be like, I am so sorry for what I just did. It hurts to say sorry. And I'm like, that's the whole point. You need it to hurt. You need it to break you. You need it to, like, to break and shatter that ego of yours, because that's why it's so important to say sorry. I see it with my little kids. Say sorry to your sister. No. And I don't quit until I make him say sorry, and it hurts him. He starts crying. But God tells me, you're teaching him. You're showing him that that's the way to go. And you have something very unique, bro. Like, as I'm hearing you speak, like, and it's crazy because I'm very similar to you. And I don't know what importance this is, but you have a knack to detail. You have it. Like, I hear you in the conversations. I have a knack for detail. You said Rosita, right, was walking down the street with a dog. What does the dog have to do anything? Why did I remember the name Rosita? Because I have that same knack, too, where you look at the details. And I don't know why God has given that, but I believe there will be a time where God reveals it into why it's so important that you have that mindset of details. I don't know if you know, do you know why God has blessed you with like the knack of like seeing the details or no?
I think one of the gifts that I have is I have a really good, I'm very observant.
Yeah.
Super observant. Super, I pay attention to details.
Like a good memory.
Yes, I have an elephant's memory. Like literally, bro, like I tell people, like you can literally knock me out, throw me in a trunk, and just leave me anywhere and I'll find my way home.
Yeah.
You know, like I just do. We can go hiking and I'll know how to get back, you know? But I think that just comes with learning to survive, to be honest with you. Like you got to be alert, you know? I think one of the blessings I also had too was during that time when I was helping out my father, I didn't have my life straight either. Mm. You know what I mean? But just because you don't think you got things going on doesn't mean like God can't use you.
That's right. And sorry to kind of stop you there, but pay attention to those stuff, guys. Just because you don't have everything lined up perfectly does not mean God can't use you. He can use you in your brokenness. Like you just said it right now. I didn't have my stuff together, yet God was using me to help my dad out. And then little by little, that was building you up because that was going to set you up to where you're at now. Where was your mom while you're helping your dad out?
Yeah, so my mom, she was actually with my stepdad now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she had already started her relationship.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. And it was a little.
So she was kind of more like on the stable side, and the one that really needed the help was more your pops.
Well, not in the beginning. In the beginning, my mom was literally staying at family, friend's house. Oh, and wow. Then my stepdad took her in. And here's another thing about being mature also too, right? Like one of the biggest blessings that I say growing up in where I grew up in Riverside, it was like lower middle class families, right? So a lot of my friends that played sports, a lot of their parents were divorced, right? And I'd always hear them complain like, dude, my stepdad's a jerk, or dude, I can't stand my stepmom, right? But thank God I was mature. And the way I looked at it is maybe I don't agree with how this situation played out, but I'm super grateful that my mom's safe and she's with a guy that's taking care of her, you know? Mm. And I just looked at it from that perspective. Like, it could be a lot worse. Or, like, imagine if she was with, like, someone that was, like, taking advantage of her, disrespecting her, or abusive. But he was taking care of her. And I was like, thank you, God. Mm. I always try to see the good in everything.
Yeah, crazy.
You know?
Crazy. And you're right. I remember growing up too, like I would hear a lot of people talk about their stepmoms and stepparents. And I grew up in a divorced family as well. So it was definitely challenging. Like I'm 11, 12 when my parents got divorced. So I'm nowhere capable in processing this as a man. So for me, it was just super awkward and super weird to like till today, my mom never moved on. She stayed by herself, but my dad did, and he got married, has had more kids and everything. And I'm not like mad at it or anything. Like, glory to God if my dad found a place where he can continue to grow and move on and everything like that. But definitely, like, there's a lot of like outside chatter. But one of the things, you know, we were talking about this earlier, how you mentioned something like, I'm a late bloomer. And I'm like, nah, bro, like, I'm early blooming right now. Like, right now, I'm early blooming. And you're like, how are you blooming through a season of your life that's very difficult? Because God does whatever God wants to do. And at the end of the day, I praise him for it because it's helping me find my voice.
Absolutely.
It's helping me find who I am. There was a lot of lack of confidence. There was a lot of like, I don't believe in myself. There was a lot of, I just never saw anything good coming out of me. And little by little, God starts showing you like, nah, man, not only is there like so much that you can do, But now that I'm doing this and I get to hear stories like yours, like right now, beautiful, like impactful, like obviously, like it has ups and downs, right? Like this, the depression and all these things, but it also has those areas of love, love coming in and love rescuing and love uniting and having compassion of where did you come from? And that's why you're like that. But rather than hating you, I'm not going to hate you, bro. I'm just going to embrace you. I'm going to say, it's okay that you have that background, but what are we going to do to get better in it as well and develop ourselves?
Absolutely.
Man, you're very, you know, you're saying you're a late bloomer, bro, but I believe you're very mature for your age.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Like, people tell me what's the right way of saying
it? An old soul.
Yeah, I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
In a young body.
I could see that.
And I will say I'm thanks to all the experiences and all the amazing people that God put in my life, I do have a lot of wisdom. So as a kid, I always loved hanging out with the older crowd.
Same.
You know?
Crazy, yeah.
So, yeah, like, I'm 34, but I'm a very wise 34-year-old.
Wow.
I will say that.
Love it, love it. So all this stuff that you've gone through in your life, obviously you're still, you know, I want to know a little bit more about Eddie now. You mentioned a lot of times, like, I still didn't have my stuff together. I was trying to help my dad, and I didn't have my stuff together. When did it click for Eddie? And he's like, now I'm finally getting my stuff together.
Yeah, so it started, I'd say, around 29.
Okay.
So between 23 and 28 years old, I was living the fast life, you know? I was in a relationship. Long story short, we broke up, and the first thing that came to my mind, right, was I want to meet someone that could put me on, can teach me about game, teach me about everything, right? So the Bible says, seek and you shall find, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started going out on every Friday night, right, and I met the guy. I met the guy. He put me on, showed me the ropes, everything, right? And that's just the life I lived. You know, I stopped going to church. I did the complete opposite. I did exactly what my parents didn't want me to do, what they were protecting me from, right?
Yep, yep.
So I'm super grateful for that, too, because now I can see both worlds.
That's right.
I know the word, and I also know how manipulative the enemy is as well, too. So I know so how good. He maneuvers. I know how he works.
So good.
So now I'm like super aware. So to answer your question, at the age of 29, I was hanging around with really not the right crowd or whatever. Near death experience, not with me, but with certain people. And it was just a complete miracle that no one passed away, honestly, by the grace of God, just looking back at it too.
Wow.
So long story short, I hit rock bottom. And I didn't know what to do. For a period of my time, Mike, I forgot what it was like to be sober.
Wow.
Just thinking that now, I'm just like, that's crazy.
Yeah, because you just said, I don't drink.
Yeah.
That is a trip.
I don't drink. But I did not know what it was like to be sober. I'd say maybe for about two and a half years.
Wow.
So I was completely numb. Right? And it's crazy how God could use you. But then the enemy can also distract you and try to destroy you as well too, right?
100%.
So one of the things I'm grateful about my mom is that at the age of 6, I believe, she planted the seed of the importance of having a relationship with God. So that's always been my moral compass.
Amen. That's good.
So at 29, when I hit rock bottom, the only thing that came to mind was getting on my knees.
You knew where to look.
And I just started praying.
Wow, beautiful.
And I broke down like a baby. Like ugly cry, bro. Like beautiful. Like ugly cry.
Yeah.
And during that time, like
that Kim Kardashian cry, bro.
That, you know, that nasty sob, like loud, bro. I didn't care. Like my sister, my brother-in-law were in the house. And dude, like I was just like broke down. And I remember my brother-in-law went down the stairs and he's like, they didn't know what was going on. They just knew that the cops showed up in the middle of the night before, looking for me, right? They had no idea what was going on. I wasn't answering my phone. this and that. So he came into my room. He's like, dude, is everything okay? Like, what's going on, bro? And literally when he said that, like, I just felt like God, like, lifting me up. You know, just reminding me that he's always been there. Always. Even when I didn't feel it, he's always been there. Just looking back at my life, I'm like, he's always been there. He's always been protecting me, right? So literally the only thing I remember is just telling God I was tired of trying to do things my way. And I just pray that you send the right people into my life, right? And literally, my buddy who lives out in New York, super grateful for him. He understood what was going on. So he's like, hey, dude, you're going through it. Just come fly. He literally got me a flight to go to New York in February. So this was 2020, right before the pandemic. So I literally took a flight out there just to clear my mind and all that stuff. And then my fiance Anita messaged me on Instagram when I was out there, right? So the funny thing is, like, I had like a big crush on Anita. I met her like 15 years before we started dating. We were really, really good friends. So fast forward to now, she hits me up and she's just,
but at the time you guys were not like nothing. She no. So she was hitting you up.
Yeah, she was just saying, hey, how you been? Haven't heard from you, this and that.
Anita, comenzaste tú, canija. Yeah. Comenzaste.
Yeah, so she's just like, fast forward to maybe like a year, 6 months to a year. I would always ask her, like, hey, let's go grab a bite to eat, this and that. And she was sweet. She'd always be like, let me check my schedule, right? So she messaged me and she's just like, hey, how you been? This and that. And she's just like, hey, do you still feel the same way you feel about me? And I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, of course. She's just like, well, ask me out again. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on here? You know, like, I'm just like, dude, like, I'm literally about to start from ground zero again. Like, the last thing I need is to get in a relationship, right? So I was just talking to my boy. We were literally driving in Times Square at the time. And remember, it's a three-hour difference. So it's 12 o'clock there. So it's probably like around, what, 9 o'clock out here.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, look it. He's like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Like, you like this girl? Like, come on. Like, don't be dumb. So I was like, all right, cool. So I was like, when I get back, like, we'll go get some food or whatever, right? So literally, bro, I hop on the plane, get back to California. Literally the next day is when everything shut down with the pandemic. So the crazy part is I literally was thinking about staying a little bit longer, but for whatever reason, I just came back thanks to Anita. Like, if Anita didn't hit me up, I probably would have been still there for like a couple of days, but I would have got stuck out there. You know what I mean? So it's funny how God works. So long story short, when I came back, March 7th was the day that we went on our first date, right? But the crazy part about that was, on March 7th, my mom gave me a call and she was crying. And I'm like, Mom, what's going on? She's like, she called me to let me know that she was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. Right? So I was like, what the heck? So hung up the phone. Obviously, I was positive about it. I was like, don't worry, Mom. Like, we're going to get through it. Like, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Right? So I hang up the phone and I'm driving in my car and I'm just like, I just started crying. I'm like, dude, what the heck is going on? That's a tough blow to take, you know?
100%.
So I'm driving, praying to God, like, hey, if there's anyone going to be positive, it's going to be me. Like, I'll take on that load. I'll take on that responsibility, right? So as I'm driving, Anita texts me, like, hey, are we still on for tonight? And I'm just like, oh, my God, like, I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, you just got some bad news, so
yeah. But for whatever reason, I saw like two sides. Like, all right, cool. Like, if I don't go on this date, the chances of me going on a date with her are probably like slim to none. Right?
Yeah.
So I could go on this date and completely like keep my mind positive instead of like being negative. Or I could look over here and be down. I was like, I ain't doing that. So I ended up going on the date with Anita. Everything was beautiful. I knew she was the one because our first day we went to go get tacos, right?
From where?
We went to Taqueria Los Portillos, I think it's called. Okay. My Spanish is probably off, but yeah.
All good. From where? It was
off of Tyler and Hole, I believe, right across the street from the mall. Bomb.
I'm telling you guys, I'm asking these details, and he's not saying like, oh, I don't know, some place. Like, he knows the street names. Like, he's detailed. Like, I like that. Yeah, that.
So we got tacos, and afterwards, I was kind of stuck for a little bit. She's like, what's going on? Is everything okay? And that's goes back to my mom, right? My mom told me, like, whenever you date a girl or you like a girl, make sure to be friends first. As a young kid, you're like, dude, I've known this girl for a month. She's my friend, right? But no, like, I literally known Anita 15 years before we even started dating. So Anita really, really knows me, and I really know her. So she knew something was off. So she's like, what's up? What's wrong? I was like, dude, I just found out that my mom has cancer. She's just like, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, if I didn't come today, like, the chances are of me going on a date with you, like, it's out the window.
Slim to none, yeah.
You know, so I'm willing to take my chances. So she's just like, wow, like, that's crazy. So the amazing person that Anita is, we ended up wrapping it up a little bit quickly. And she's like, you need to go see your mom. Go to your mom. So that night I went with my mom. So to answer your question, I literally had to hit rock bottom to finally get it. Like, dude, if you don't get your stuff right, either you're going to end up like some of your friends that passed away or some of your friends that are just up to no good or locked up or whatever, right? So thank God for Anita. Like, I literally realized if this is going to work out, there's definitely going to have to be some changes. So once again, I look to the left side is like, you can continue doing what you're doing, and you know what that route is, or you can man up and step up to the plate and take on the challenge.
Take accountability.
And that's exactly what I did. So, beautiful, started dating during the pandemic. At the time, I was working at Amazon. I was a manager at Amazon. So then, that ended up closing the site. I was just tired of it. I always knew I wanted more in my life, especially playing sports and being good at sports. I always knew that I wanted to do something with my life than just working a typical warehouse job, right? Dropped out of college. So I was like, my only shot is to go into business for myself, right? And just start all over again. I gave it a shot when I was younger, but at the time I was young, dumb, immature, didn't really take it serious. I didn't take anything serious. I didn't even take myself serious during that time, right?
I know at some point in your life, you're trying to get your stuff together. You're saying, like, you know, I didn't have it, but now you are. I'm interested a little bit as far as the business goes. So, like, what type of business was it that really helped you mold you and get your, I mean, pardon my French, but get your shit together?
Yeah, so one of the things I realized growing up is I seen a lot of death. I'm 34. I've been to well over 30 plus funerals in my life.
Wow.
And one thing I realized, especially in the Latino communities, we do the same thing repetitively over and over and over again when someone passed away. This was before social media. I remember doing local car washes, right?
Yep.
My tías.
Kermeses.
You're right. Bake tamales, knock on doors, ask for donations, right? So I'm like, dude, there has to be a different way. So long story short, there's a kid I went to school with. His dad passed away, and it was the complete opposite. His dad had a life insurance policy and set his family up for the rest of his life. Went to school, everything paid for. The mom is financially set, right? So one of the things that I fell in love with was, like, if I'm going to do something, I want to have purpose, and I want to be able to help people. So I actually found financial services is educating families on what the banks and insurance companies don't want you to know. And it's a very corrupted industry, too, when it comes to life insurance. There's different type of life insurances that sound very, very promising, but they benefit the agent, but not the client, right? So I found a really, really good company that does what's right 100% of the time, 100% of the time what's right for the client. And then not only that, have the right mentorship, the right leaders, just the right environment to be able to strive in that. So that's why I'm super, super, super passionate that whenever I sit down with the family, I know that I'm going to bless them. If God forbid something happens, your family's going to be well taken care of financially. But most importantly, if you live long enough for retirement, you're going to be set up with retirement and create generational wealth. So to be able to do both, and the Bible talks about taking care of the widows and the orphans, we literally do that. Wow. You know, I've delivered checks to families of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and if it wasn't for us, then they would struggle financially. They'd be part of the statistics, another GoFundMe account, right? So realizing out of 10 families, only two families have life insurance outside of work. And those two families that have insurance, only have, one has the right type of insurance. So there's a lot of opportunity out there, and we need help.
Wow. Wow. And I love it because, like, I 100% agree with you. It's like, unfortunately, because of these bad agents or because of people out there that put a bad name, I'll be honest with you, people hear life insurance and they just already go,
scam.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And the reality is, it's like, bro, you need to stop paying attention to what people say or what people are doing. You need to start giving attention, like educate yourself. Absolutely. Even if at the end the answer is I'm not going to move along with it, cool. But educate yourself based off of you, not just what you see on social media, not Absolutely. Just what you see on TV, not just what your compadre and comadre said. Because the reality is, you have to really see people's lifestyles, people's, you know, how do they live financially? Like, don't take advice from certain aunts or uncles that are not financially wealthy and they're telling you what to do with your money. It's not because you're being disrespectful. It's because you want to take it. You want to take advice from people that know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And even if they don't, give them a call. Find out. See if he's just talking out of his butt or if he's being for real with what he's saying. I know right now you mentioned something about a policy that, you know, it's only going to benefit the agent. You got to be careful for those things, but this is why you got to educate yourself.
Absolutely.
So you're saying that this is a business that you feel a lot of sense of purpose within.
Absolutely. There's a crusade right now. There's literally cash value agents versus us. And these cash value agents just literally sell policies that take advantage of people. They guarantee them, like, be your own bank. You can borrow money from your savings account. Just all this, it sounds beautiful. Tax-free retirement. It sounds amazing. But when you really go into detail and you break these policies down, they don't work that way. They all work the same. Their way of getting out, oh, it wasn't properly structured. Well, they haven't been around that long. And till this day, we have yet to see a properly structured policy.
Wow.
So I have testimonies of clients who've lost thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars into this policy just because they weren't properly educated. They went based off what the agent told them instead of the fine print what the policy said.
Yeah. And just kind of like off the top of your head, I don't know if you can give a figure or a number out, but like, certain people think like these policies are going to be like thousands of thousands of dollars. Like, what do you look at like monthly these policies to be for someone that's looking for one?
Yeah. So it goes based off of two things when it comes to insurance, right? It goes based off of your age and your health.
Correct. Age and health.
Age and health. Totally. So the healthier you are, the younger you are, the cheaper it is, right? So the cheapest cost of insurance you could get is term insurance. It's just strictly insurance. If you pass away, whatever amount you're covered for, the company's going to cut your family a check, right? Then there's these other policies that have insurance and they have a savings account attached to it. Anytime you combine insurance and investments within a policy, that's like a big red flag. There's a lot of fees, surrender charges, the cost of insurance goes up every year, right? So it's crazy. And those policies are like 5 to 10 times more expensive than if you were just to purchase a typical term insurance policy.
Got it.
So the way we work, I like to educate my clients, see where they're at financially. I'm not there to break the bank. I work with numbers. So I'd be like, Mike, you understand the importance of this? In your current situation that you are in right now, how much money do you feel comfortable putting aside for your future? And based on that number, I'm going to work with it.
Mm, Love it.
Whether if it's $1 a day that you can afford, $2 a day, $5 a day, you let me know and I'll work with it. Because I always tell people it's better to have something in place than nothing. Mm-hmm. Funerals are not cheap. I just went to a funeral. I went to two funerals just last month. One of my uncles passed away and one of my friend's moms passed away. And just to get cremated, it was about $15,000 for my uncle.
Yep.
To bury, it's between $30,000 to $40,000 here in California. Right?
Yep.
So a lot, especially the Latino community, we're very uneducated when it comes to our finances. So I'm out there, man.
Sketchy. I know people find it sketchy. Like I said, as soon as you hear that, some people are like, oh, here we go. And it's like, bro, give it a chance. It's like every time I hear people also just shun God out, like, oh, this guy's religious. And it's like, it's not, hey, see the results in the person's life. Well, look, you're going through the situation you're going through. Like, what benefits do I have being a Christian? The benefits that you have is in that process, in that hurt, in that pain, I still have peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my life hits certain patches, but I'm not guaranteeing a smooth path just because you're with God. I'm guaranteeing a peace that will surpass understanding. That's what I'm kind of giving. And then on your end, totally get it, where people just have to give it the chance of like, dude, just sit down, take a little bit of time, hear things out. And I love the fact that you said, like, I work with what you tell me. This is not a, I'm going to tell you this is how much you got to give. Because I've been in the other shoe where there was a long time ago, someone tried discussing this with my mom. And the guy, my mom at the end was like, nah, I'm good. Dude, the guy got mad.
Absolutely.
The guy got mad. And then, so then that puts that agent is what taints the market and mm-hmm. make people go like, see, I don't want to deal with them. And it's like, bro, like, I don't know. That guy, it was just so unprofessional. But nevertheless, I love the fact that you're saying, like, no, man, there's no pressure. There's no commitment. Where can people reach out to you if they want to talk to you about this?
Yeah, they can follow me on Instagram, send me a DM, or on TikTok at
Perfect.
Eddie Banks.
Perfect. Right. Even your own personal social medias.
Yeah.
Cool. Is there a phone number maybe?
Yeah, that they can reach my personal phone number. It's 951-892-8870.
Perfect.
They can shoot me a text, give me a call.
Perfect. And I could definitely add it there also so that people can definitely reach out to you if they have any questions in regards to this. I speak it like in a sense of like, guys, let's keep it a buck. I'm always trying 100%. To keep things a buck. If we have money to buy Starbucks every week, if we have money, as a matter of fact, guys, let's keep it real. We got to see what type of cell phone you have. And if you have money for the new iPhone, if you have money for the latest Jordans, Travis Scott's, or all kinds of things, you can't just be thinking of the now, guys. You really have to think of the future. And I think properly investment, like literally it takes just a few dollars and it can change your life.
Yeah.
Like literally change your life. Give them a call. I promise you guys, give it a try. You just have to get information and then from there you make your decision. Cool?
Cool.
Nice, man. Well, Eddie, thank you again for being on the podcast, bro. Great, great conversation. I loved hearing the transparency in you. I love learning the fact that you're a detailed person. That really like intrigued me. I hope it was a blessing to you guys too. I hope something was there where you guys like, man, now I'm interested about trying to protect my family with a policy, or now I'm interested in trying to develop myself as a man, or now I'm going to give it a shot. Now I'm just going to try this really cool thing that's always been in my heart, and hopefully we cause something to shift for you guys. So with that being said, thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys next week for another great episode. Mac Effect out. Peace.